I think the most important thing to remember there is it's called a supplement, right? This should supplement what you're doing. But the ideal is that you do as much as you possibly can with diet and lifestyle. And I would even argue we're trying to use these supplements to deal with things where we should be just meditating, right? Or, you know, getting good sleep. So, you know, it's all of those things. What can we accomplish first with diet and lifestyle? And then where do we need supplements to supplement that? But I think one of the things is we don't actually want to know.
Welcome to Your Health Reset, where we address the real root causes behind health issues today to get you rapid results on your health journey so you can be who you came here to be, mind, body, and spirit. I'm your host, Sinclair Keneally, survivor of complex chronic illness, expert on resolving root causes, and co-founder of Detox Rejuvenation and Meditation RX. Let's get started.
Welcome back to another interview on It Starts in the Gut Summit with me, your host, Sinclair Keneally. And today I am joined by my amazing friend and health and wellness luminary, JJ Virgin. Welcome, JJ.
Luminary.
Yeah, I think that's appropriate for you, don't you?
I like it. I'll keep it. I'll take it.
She's a best-selling author. She said, God, how many TV appearances have you had, girl? Can't count them.
My 10,000 hours, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. And one of your expertise areas is, although you have many, but I really want to dive into the area of food intolerances today and what we are still missing and need to myth bust when it comes to gut health and how chronic illness can actually start in the gut. And we seem to be skipping over this piece or misunderstanding it still, even though you've been talking about this for a while now.
A long time. Well, I think it was 25 years ago, might even have been 30 years ago, where I went, you know what? This whole like calories in, calories out thing doesn't work. You know, your body's not a bank account. It's a chemistry lab. And back then it was like, oh, you know, she said it's not calories in, calories out, right? So, and then the next thing was all about this, all these food intolerances. And the funniest thing with all of these things is it wasn't like I was sitting in a class and being taught this. In fact, I was being taught the opposite in reality. But what I was being taught was I was being taught this by my clients. And when, you know, your hammers are nutrition and lifestyle practices, then you're going to manipulate food as much as you possibly can to see which foods are hurting someone and which foods are healing someone. Like if what you really have to heal someone is diet and lifestyle and supplements, you really learn a lot because you can't mask anything, right?
Oh, such a good point. Could you start out for folks that think that they know what food intolerances are and what they do to us? And actually define them so that we're all talking about the same thing.
And I'll take a little poet license too. So here's what they're not. They're not an allergy. And I got to tell you, when I first started doing this, what happened was 20 years ago, 15 to 20 years ago, I was working with a lab company and I was helping this lab company. I was going into doctor's offices and I was going in and doing talks and teaching them how to use a food sensitivity test to help their patients get compliant with their diet. Because as we know, when you see something tested, you're like, oh, I have to do that, right? Mm-hmm. And so this food sensitivity test would look at something called IgG4. It's a delayed response to a food that happens if your gut gets more permeable than it should, and these food particles get out into circulation, and your body launches an immune attack and puts out these antibodies to it. That actually will then create immune complexes with these proteins from the food because it's the protein triggering this. And then these immune complexes, if you're not getting rid of them, and if you're eating a normal processed American diet, you're not, because the top high-fi foods are the things that are in everything. These complexes are building up in different places. And what's crazy is, you know, everyone thinks if you're gassy or bloated or you have constipation, you think of your gut, which I always think is funny because constipation usually has nothing to do with your gut. It's usually other things. But, you know, we look at these things and go, oh, I've got gas. I'm cramping. It's my gut. But you don't think of the brain fog, your headaches, your skin problems, your joint pain. I've seen some of the craziest things resolve when we connect the dots between what you're eating and how you feel. So that's the first thing is I was doing these food sensitivity tests. Now, that looks at a bunch of different proteins in food, but what it doesn't look at is gluten. It's a different type of test. And it also doesn't take into account like the hormonal effects of food and some of the damaging effects that could make your gut more permeable. So when I looked at this and I was writing the Virgin Diet, I went, all right, we were literally sitting around a table, the agent, the publicist, the publisher, and we were like, what should we call it? And they're like, allergy. I go, it is not an allergy. Everybody knows if they have an allergy. They know that they eat shrimp. And this literally happened to me the other day, by the way. Like, it never happens, but I must have eaten a bad shrimp. And I blew up, my lips blew up, like my nose pulled, like everything. So you know if you've had an allergic reaction. It's not like, gee, did I have one? You know, you've got hives or whatever. So this is not that. The reason this is so often missed is because it's delayed. It can be delayed by 30 minutes. It can be delayed by a couple days. But generally, it's a couple hours to a day later. And so you never would think, and my son's a great case in point, my son did not want to believe that the pizza he ate was giving him the migraine the next day. He was like, no way, mom, right? Till we took it out and no more migraines. You don't connect those dots. And so when I think of this, I moved it from sensitivity to an intolerance. And intolerance really can pull in gluten. Gluten intolerance is a well-known established thing. You look at lactose intolerance, fructose intolerance, but then I also look at some of the hormonal issues that can happen when you're eating these two and the inflammatory responses. So that's why I say take a little poetic license, because when you look at the top foods that I call high fire, high food intolerance foods, there's ones that really do cause that sensitivity, like eggs and dairy were the top ones I saw, and then corn and peanuts and soy were the next ones. Gluten's much more of an intolerance, and sugar and artificial sweeteners were just causing the problem in the first place. They were disrupting the gut microbiome, they were making the gut leakier, and they were creating an environment that was easy for you to have these food sensitivities or food intolerances.
This is so important to understand because we talk around this topic a lot, like, oh, yeah, and food intolerances or food sensitivities or food allergies. And we use those words interchangeably. And we're not actually taking a hard look at how much control we have over how much we're actually irritating our gut on any given day. And then we're asking our supplements to do a lot of the heavy lifting and turning to prescriptions when they may not actually be necessary at all.
I think the most important thing to remember there is it's called a supplement, right? This should supplement what you're doing. But the ideal is that you do as much as you possibly can with diet and lifestyle. And I would even argue we're trying to use these supplements to deal with things where we should be just meditating, right? Or, you know, getting good sleep. So, you know, it's all of those things. What can we accomplish first with diet and lifestyle? And then where do we need supplements to supplement that? But I think one of the things is we don't actually want to know. I will tell you, when I first came out with the Virgin Diet, and they go, everyone wanted to know. And here's a very funny one. Virgin Diet first comes out, and I was in JFK Airport, New York. And I'm walking there, and my book is in the bookstore, and my face is on it, right? And I'm looking, and this woman goes walking over, picks up the book, and I'm like, oh, yeah. And so I walk over to her, and I said, what do you think? And she goes, oh, I'm just trying to figure out the seven foods. I go, I can tell you them. And she goes, oh, no, that's okay. And she puts the book down. I'm like, did you even figure out that, like, it's me? I was going to tell you the seven foods. But so many people, I think, just want to know the seven foods and go, oh, but I can't give up my cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And the key thing here is, like, I love testing, but I think the single best thing you can do to figure out which foods work best for you, which foods don't, is to take some time off where you can detox from those foods that are potentially hurting you, heal your gut so you can really listen. You know, all this intuitive eating doesn't work if you can't hear. And if you've been eating processed food and garbage, you cannot hear what your body is telling you. So intuitive eating only works if you've had time to detoxify and heal. And then you need to listen to connect the dots and go, all right, I'm going to test and see how I feel if I eat gluten. Because you know what? I have seen this time and time again where the test says, oh, they're okay, but they eat gluten and their fingers swell up. Or I had one woman say to me, she goes, well, you know, the headaches, the joint pain, the fatigue, the brain fog, the skin problems, the gas. I'm like, I didn't have any of that when I ate gluten. She goes, the scale went up 4 pounds. And I go, well, you could not possibly have eaten 4 pounds worth of food. Like you didn't, that is not possible. So what do you think happened? What do you think happened when your scale goes up 4 pounds overnight? That is an inflammatory response.
Hello.
This is why we need to use scales as biometric tools, just like we'd use a continuous glucose monitor, right? So that we can really gauge if something's helping us or hurting us. Super duper important. But back to the original question, Sinclair, I think just let's face it, like all of a sudden you're going to have to look at your faves and go, I'm breaking up with you. But here's the thing, you're just taking a little break. You're just taking a hiatus. You're just going on vacation for a couple of weeks. You're not saying, hey, I can never see you again. You're going to take them out of your diet for at least 3 weeks because it takes that long to get rid of those immune complexes and let the antibodies calm down and really start to heal that gut. It takes a lot longer to really get that gut to where it needs to be, depending on how damaged it is, but it'll give you a good baseline. And then you go back and you connect the dots. And what I love about doing this is because when you go back one by one and test the high five foods and really listen to your body, you go, wow, I had no idea that I have one client, when she eats eggs, it makes her go to sleep. She's like exhausted. So if she's flying on a plane and she needs a sleeping pill, she'll eat eggs. But it's not really a great thing throughout the day. In fact, it was interesting. You know, she was given to me as a client from some doctor friends of mine. So they're like, she needs motivation. And I'm like, okay. No, she didn't. She just needed to pull out the high five foods, lost the weight. No biggie. You know, you go back and you connect the dots. And here's what's interesting. Here are these foods you thought you could never live without, because we know that if you're intolerant to a food, you actually tend to crave the very foods that are hurting you. It's like your kryptonite. You cannot get rid of it. And so when you pull them out, the first 3 to 4 days are like white knuckling. And that's an awesome thing. It's so great because you go, oh my gosh, I'm going to see a big difference. And all of a sudden, by the end of the first week, I mean, the average person I see when they pull this out is they lose 7 pounds the first week because they're dropping that inflammation. But they're also dropping the gas and bloating and the joint pain and the headaches and the fatigue, all that stuff, that noise that they'd come to believe was normal for them. Oh, that's just normal for me. I mean, you go to the drugstore, look at how many things there are there for headaches and gas, right? I mean, what the heck? Like, why are there all of these gas remedies? And like, why do we need this? All of a sudden they go, wow, I had no idea I could feel this good. Like, who knew? And I'll tell you the biggest thing I hear, and I just saw it in my Facebook group, someone at 3 weeks where I say, now, if you want to start and test, you can. You don't have to do it yet, but you can. They're like, oh no, I'm not doing that. I love the way I feel, right? So it's a really different conversation. When you do this, you never have that conversation of, I'll just have a cheat meal. Because it's ridiculous, you know, it's like, doesn't make any sense.
I think you've been instrumental in actually changing the conversation in the space about this. And I'm so grateful to you for being a pioneer in it. And I have to ask you, because you've laid it out so beautifully in just a few minutes, it makes sense to me. It sounds easy. It sounds accessible. It sounds, you know, doable given many different stages of health or illness that you might be in. Why aren't we talking about this all the time? Why doesn't every practitioner start here? What are we missing as a community?
I think this should be the very first thing that everybody does. Hands down, bar none. Like, you know, I'm working on my next book and new programs. And this is where I think it all starts. It always starts here. Okay, you're going to start with intermittent fasting. But if you're eating foods that don't work for you, that hurt you, it does not matter if you intermittent fast. You're still going to have challenges, right? So when I look at this, or you'll go on a detox. But if you go on a detox and you're leaving any of these foods in, you're still going to have a toxic response in your body. So I look at this, and for me, this to me is always step one. It's always got to be step one. However, and it's super simple. I remember one of the critiques of my book said, it's too simple. Well, I could totally complicate this one for you if you want. But it doesn't need to be hard. And nowadays, like back when I first started doing this and you had to go find coconut milk in the Asian food section of the grocery store and it was in a can and there was like one can, right? And now all of a sudden you can get coconut aminos and you can get all sorts of different types of nut milks. I mean, there's so much more variety, but there's also a lot of junk food variety too. So don't be fooled. That it is really simple to do. However, it does still require a little bit of, you know, education. Now, I have a lot of doctors that will refer my book out, which I just love to pieces. And I'm coming out with some more stuff just to make it like, even if you say, I can't afford this, first of all, I don't believe it. I think you can't afford not to. It's no difference in price to switch out your foods and drop those seven high food, five foods. You're probably going to like the foods you swap out even better. And I've got so much information online for free that there's really, this is easy to do. Like, so I always look at those things and go, this is 3 weeks that can change your life forever, can totally transform your life because inflammation is at the core of anything you do. And when you start here and you start with diet, you can actually see how damaged your metabolism is. It's always the big thing for me because as I work in weight loss and especially weight loss resistance, it's my favorite thing to do is to take people who cannot lose weight, who've struggled, who've like that's my favorite. It's my jam. And I always start here and see what's happening because you'll see people that you start here and then you do a limit fasting cycles with some intermittent fasting and they're still stuck. And then all of a sudden, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and everything starts to shift. But they have to heal first. You know, you don't lose weight to get healthy. You have to get healthy and heal your metabolism to lose weight. Weight's just a side effect if things are not right. Just like the gas and bloating and the headaches and the joint pain and everything else. It's just associated with so much shame and stuff, you know, where it doesn't need to be. It's just another symptom of things not working well in your body. And a lot of times those things aren't working well in your body because of the misinformation and lies you've been fed that you should be eating that low-fat yogurt with that healthy, you know, granola and the whole wheat toast.
Or the soy alternative, you know.
I had one poor gal who'd really taken that all to heart. She was a very good student. And so she was like, soy, 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 soy. And she heard me talking and she's like crying in the audience. And oh my gosh, I forget what it was like 40 to 60 pounds like that, because we just like freed her from her soy hell. Like all that soy, her thyroid at the time, I think her TSH when we checked it was like 18.
No, I'm so glad to hear you say that because I was vegetarian and I was tremendously overweight and in a lot of pain and did not understand my body at all. And I went on MetaFast, which is soy chips in a bag, basically 85 wow. different versions of soy. I lost half my hair. My inflammation went through the roof. My whole family did it at the same time. My mom got so sick. It took her years to recover. It was just like this avalanche of soy.
Gosh. Yeah. The one that makes me the saddest about this is, and I keep thinking, should I do this for kids? Is soy formula should just be outlawed.
Thank you for saying that because we have a lot of young parents in the audience. So I want their ears to perk up. Please go look into that and why JJ would say that. Okay. So we've touched on a few of the seven. Right. We mentioned wheat. We mentioned corn. We mentioned eggs. We mentioned dairy. We mentioned soy. What are we leaving out here?
I was just going, okay. So here's what's interesting, you know, and again, gluten is a different type of test than that food sensitivity test I was doing. But the test, the ones that showed up the most on the most people, dairy and eggs, dairy and eggs, dairy and eggs. And I always ask too, Sinclair is like, is it the dairy and the eggs, or is what was fed to the cows and the chickens? And the answer is yes, it's both. And then you've got soy. The next round was soy, corn, and peanuts. And, you know, I kind of pick on peanuts for a couple different reasons. I mean, I also worry with peanuts because they do tend to be more of an aflatoxin moldy food. Like they're the most moldy of them. But I also look at like soy and corn, so GMO. So is it the GMO? You know, you look at the gluten in the corn and you're like, well, is it the glyphosates? Is it the, you know, which one is it? It's all of it, right? So
right. It's a perfect bomb.
It is. That's the bigger challenge. And every time I go to Europe, I can eat whatever I want. I feel great. I come back here. I'm like, can't touch a thing. You
know? Yeah. Like, why don't we live there again?
I'm not sure.
I mean, like a mindshare commune in Italy. That's what we need.
I think Portugal is supposedly the one. So, you know, it's still all these things. I think one of the bigger struggles here in the U.S. is really finding food that is clean, because even the organic food is getting contaminated by all the water and seeds and all that stuff. You know, so we talked peanuts, corn, soy. The thing that I put in, and I'll tell you, when I wrote The Virgin Diet, I did an online program first. And the online program was not drop seven foods. It was pulling out six foods. I didn't pull out sugar and artificial sweeteners. Once you come into my community, I think you realize that artificial sweeteners are a crime against humanity. If you are thinking about that, have regular sugar. It's that bad. They are so bad. They have no business being allowed anywhere unless we were going to use them. Maybe we could use those as bug killers. I'm not sure. But they should not be like anywhere we're eating anything. But sugar, what I didn't realize was that if I pulled those six foods out, and this is why now I always say it's swap to drop, swap these foods. Because first I just pulled those foods out. And you know what people ate? Sugar. I had no idea that like they were like, I got a gluten-free cupcake and gluten. And I was like, oh my goodness. So the challenge with sugar is fructose is going to make your gut more permeable. Sugar is going to disrupt your gut microbiome. So, you know, we have to make sure that we are doing what we can to heal because we're pulling out the foods that could potentially be hurting you. And I'm not saying that all seven necessarily are. And even if they are right now, it's not forever. Food intolerance is a snapshot in time that's based on what's going on with your gut. How damaged is it? Have you gone through a major stressful event? That's the biggest thing that's going to impact your gut. What else is going on? So this is just a moment in time, but I want to make sure that we're pulling out the hurting foods. And when you look at what's hurting your gut, you know, GMOs, highly processed, and sugar and artificial sweeteners are like the big whammy. Those are the real ones. So that's where I added those in. You're like, oh, we can have all of this. I'm like, no, you can't. So, but you know what? Here's the other thing. While there's some amazing substitutes for sugar out there, like allulose and stevia and monk fruit, I still think we have to be so careful because when you eat sweet, you want sweet. And we really want to retrain your taste buds to appreciate berries, right? And sweet potatoes. It's why after I wrote The Virgin Diet, I was not planning. It's kind of like when you have a kid. Once you have a kid, you're like, I'll never have another kid. I had that kid. That's a great kid. I'm really happy about that. Then next thing you know, you're like, I think I'm going to have another kid. So, you know, I wrote The Virgin Diet and I'm not going to write any more books. And then I kept getting asked about sugar. And the biggest question people did as they came through The Virgin Diet was the next question was about sugar. And so that's why I realized I've got to really look at this because sugar sneaks into everything and really disrupts your gut. And it's in things that you wouldn't think about. And so people are trying to be so healthy and they're getting that little label and the label says no sugar added and it's got fruit juice concentrate because they can lie to you, which makes me insane. Like that you're allowed to do this. Shame on you food companies. Even though you're allowed to do it doesn't mean you should, right? Just because you can. And so you'll see them lying on the labels and they'll say no sugar added, low glycemic index. That is code that they just loaded a bunch of fructose in there. That's going to make you insulin resistant, hypertensive. That's how they induce hypertension in lab rats and damage your gut. And by the way, it's the most aging sugar and it also feeds cancer more than the other one. So
hello.
Yeah. So apple juice concentrate that they can put on the label as it's not sugar. I'm not sure what it would be if it's not sugar, like magic. I don't know.
I'm so glad that you started tackling the label education because I love your posts on Instagram and TikTok, how you're just slowly helping people train up about this. If you're not following JJ, you have to because they really are the best. What other labels misconceptions do we have? Like for me, in our practice, people always come in like, oh yeah, all of my packaged foods, we have them take pictures of what's inside their fridge and their pantry and even their spices, just so we can quickly, okay, just show me all the crap. And they say, oh, but it's organic, you know? So what other misconceptions do we need to...
It's the organic, gluten-free, low fat and light, all the words that you can totally lie with that make me nuts. And a lot of these words like organic, gluten-free, natural means nothing. It means nothing. You're not eating plastic. So, you know, natural is a great one or whole grain. Or, you know, real fruit, all these things that they can put in there. I love real fruit when it's in like one of those stick things and it's like, you know, 3%, you know, where they can look at this. The bottom line is ideally you're buying as few labels as possible. But when you are getting the label, you're really looking at it and going, where does sugar fall into play here? 5 grams or less of added sugars and less is better and none is the best. And that really is for at least 100 calories, and it shouldn't be one of the first ingredients. And by the way, there's so many in the Sugar Impact Diet. I list all the different names for sugar because they just give you a different name so you don't know what it was, right? And so, and they'll list like three different types, but you don't know that that's actually sugar, which makes me crazy. But the other thing that we really need to watch in these products are all of these damaged seed oils, right?
Thank you.
Like those are the biggest inflammatory bomb in those packages. And they're pretty much in everything because they're cheap and they're stable. When they were like, let's get out the hydrogenated stuff, we'll just put in these seed oils. People won't know the difference. They'll think they're fine. They're not.
Yeah. And I can hear people even saying now, but JJ, what's wrong with sunflower oil? Isn't that a health food?
The biggest thing with these things is there are omega-6s and they are more inflammatory and they also oxidize. So what I like to look at them as is damaged fats. Now, ideally, if a little snuck in every once in a while, it wouldn't make a difference. If once a month or once a year, you got a teaspoon of a damaged vegetable oil, you're going to be okay. But the challenge is what you're doing every single day. So that creamer that you're using, thinking, and you know, someone pointed out, I didn't even realize it. I bought an oat milk and someone goes, that's got something in it. And I didn't even look at I didn't look at the label. Who would have thought they would have put a bad seed oil in something like this? And that's why you've got to check everything. So it's the things you do every single day that make a difference. So you've really got to look at these things because some of these new products that can be so amazing, like plant-based cheeses are like game changer. However, you've got to look at them because some of them have just absolute, they're junk food, just like some of the old gluten-free stuff. So really pay attention to what those things are and what they have in them, because a lot of times they're sneaking in these damaged oils. Just like it's kind of to me the old low-fat, no-fat salad dressings where they pull out the fat and hijack it with a load of sugar. You know?
I'm so glad to hear you mention the plant-based cheeses too, because people feel so virtuous when they're spending extra on this thing that's supposed to be healthy. But if it's made of moldy cashews and rancid seed oils, you're not doing yourself any favors.
You really got to watch those. There's a couple things like Kite Hill makes a great ricotta cheese. So there's a couple things in there that can be great. You can also make cashew cheese. It's like even I can make cashew cheese. It's water and cashews.
Easy. Don't let Michael hear that. I like to play dumb in the kitchen. So, okay. So you have done an amazing job of laying out all of these important factors in taking control over your own health just through your food choices today and myth busting left and right as per usual. Are there any last thoughts that you'd like to leave our audience with? Keeping in mind that these are our lovely gluten-free yogis who still feel like crap. You know, they're doing it all right and they still have yet to heal.
So there was a great, and I'm trying to remember who said this one. You'll know who said it, but it is this. It's if you were sitting on 7 tacks and you pulled one tack out, let's say you're sitting on 7 tacks and they were gluten, dairy, corn, eggs, soy, peanuts, and then sugar and artificial sweeteners is one big tack. And you go, all right, I'm gluten-free. So you get up and you take the gluten-free tack away and you go, and you know what? All right, I'm corn-free and sugar-free too. Peanuts, yeah, I'm taking peanuts out and soy, but I'm going to keep those eggs and dairy. And you sit back down on those tacks. How does it feel? You can't leave a couple tacks when you're going through this. So if you're looking at this right now going, I do not understand why I don't feel well. This is the first place to start is take those tacks out and let the inflammation cool down. And again, I'm not saying that all 7 of those tacks are the culprits, but I'm willing to bet at least 1 or 2 are because I've seen it over and over and over now with thousands and thousands of people. So you owe it to yourself. It's just 3 weeks. We can do anything for 3 weeks. And you especially want to do it if one of those things is singing your name, like, you know, the cheese, and you're like, I can't, you know, yes, you can. And then like report in, let's see how you do. Cause I'm just willing to bet that at the end of 3 weeks, you're going to go, I don't even want to taste those things again.
What an amazing analogy. I love that you said that because we often get people that have taken out 6 out of 7 tacks and like, but you can't take away my eggs. I already don't do these things. Like, but sweetie, you got mold all over your labs, which means your liver's already hurting. And eggs are a bile reducer. Yeah, but they didn't show up on my food sensitivity screening. Doesn't matter. Let's pull them out and let's see how you do.
This is the fact difference. You're negotiating for them tells me they have to go bye-bye. You know?
so true. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us today. I really appreciate you. And I love what a light you're shining on all of these necessary conversations, especially for those of us in the US. We have got to catch up.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Well, you know, the UK and Canada are tying us at this point too. So
they're looking fine.
Thanks for listening. Go to detoxrejuvenation.com to find the links in the show notes to everything we covered in this episode. Please subscribe, review, and share with other humans who need this precious information. Let's help each other. Until next time, love, Sinclair.